Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben. John Paul is here.
Yo.
We're excited to spend another episode with you.
Yeah, we are.
Brought to you by the Student Pastor Network, premier training and development tool for you, the student pastor.
That almost sounded like a question.
Is it? Yes, it is. We would love for you to check it out at studentpastornetwork.com, where there is training, resources, and coaching opportunities designed specifically for you, the student pastor. So check it out. The topic of today's conversation is giving your students a voice. There are a lot of different pieces to that, and so we want to dive in. And I believe, man, I hate that I don't remember this, but I believe this came in as a request in how to kind of put the spotlight on the students of your ministry and really celebrate some things that are happening. So I'm really sorry that I don't remember. You know, usually we give a quick shout out to the person that sent this in. So I'm sorry to you. I didn't write it down or record the name, so I apologize for that. But we do want to talk about this because I think it's a really important topic in putting that spotlight on your students, or we've kind of shaped it a little bit to talk about giving your students a voice. And so one of the primary ways that you can give them a voice in your student ministry is simply by allowing them to evaluate, to give you feedback, and to speak into what you're doing. So we've talked a little bit about building leadership teams in the past. This kind of connects to that, but having a group of students that you have specifically sought out to give you feedback, to help you plan, to speak into what's going on is a really important aspect of student. What you don't want to have happen is for you to get so into planning and development and strategy, things that we talk about all the time that are really good for you to do. You don't want to get so far into those things that you lose touch with the people that you are actually doing the planning and strategy work for. So give your students a voice by allowing them to be a part of that feedback loop.
And I think at the same time, you need to keep the right perspective. Is that you can't allow your students to prescribe everything that happens in the student ministry. They'll have a lot of ideas they think are great.
Yeah, but you're still the leader.
Yeah, they're 13. So don't take everything and run with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is important. It's just an easy way to keep a pulse on what the kids are seeing and hearing and feel is important. And then you can speak to that in the way that you see best fit to do so.
Yeah. Well, and one of the greatest things that comes from this may not actually be the idea. You know, it may be awesome, but one of the greatest things that I know will come from this is that when the students are excited about what you're doing and they have ownership because they sat around a table with you and planned something or gave input, even if you don't take the input, just them being there, when they're excited about it, their friends are going to be excited about it. And those friends' friends are going to be excited about it because their peers were involved. And so I know that that is something. When you give your students a voice into the actual function and process and planning of the ministry, it will generate more excitement for them.
Yeah. Part of strategic leadership there, I would say, is having an element of listening to them and making sure that you know what they want and what they're seeing. It's an easy way to catch wind of the most current trends and all of that stuff that you might not hear just on your own. But a really savvy leader, here again, just another way to kind of to think about it, is going to come into those student leadership meetings with an idea of some things that they would like to do. And if you're a really strong leader, you're able to present that as a blank slate and kind of lead those students towards something you know is going to be great for them. And what that allows you to do is get a certain degree of student input to help you shape that. But when they leave that process, they feel ownership of what they've left the room, feeling like they created and to some degree they did. But you've also taken some steps in relationship and in leadership training and just implementation of an event that you know is going to be healthy for your event. So I think there's got to be a balance of wisdom there and listening.
Yeah, for sure. And part of that's discipleship. Like you don't have to make that meeting all about processes and planning. Use that time wisely. And like you said, that strategic leadership to kind of coach them along the way to an idea that you have. Spend some of that time discipling them and teaching them and growing their leadership development is an aspect of discipleship. You're doing that as a part of this meeting. One of the other ways to give students a voice is to actually put them on the stage. And I know of student ministry leaders that are super apprehensive about this, about giving the microphone to a student, whether it be for a testimony or actually preaching a message or being a part of a worship team. I am not a fan of the open mic night. So I think there's a balance here. Like, I would never do open mic, but some people like believe that that is, you know, like the spirit falls every time you do an open mic. I'm just really fearful of what's going to be said.
That opinion changes when you have a kid come up on stage and fart in the microphone.
Yes, it definitely would.
That's happened before.
Did that happen to you?
Well, to me, he didn't fart right into the microphone, but he came up.
Like,
well,
that was the purpose.
You know the student, and I won't say his name, but a middle schooler, he said, I've got something to say, and he just ripped one. It was a great, like, half hour of testimony and everything. He just ripped one. Everyone lost it. Moment over.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy Spirit left the building.
That is the worst
not
thing
really.
I've...
That's not a theological statement.
Right. That's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
So that's what you run the risk of when you do open mic night.
That's
and so,
the last time that I did one.
Yeah. I can't believe that. You run the risk of that happening, or you having to do damage control of, you know, I've heard stories about, you know, people confessing sin and like pointing out people in the audience of like, you know, I was with so-and-so. And so, man, like there's just a lot more danger that can come from the open mic, I think, sometimes than good. The other side of that is being so protective of, quote, your stage that you don't give students an opportunity to share what God's doing in their life. And I emphasize the your in your stage right there on purpose, because anytime we begin to think of that moment, whether it be a Wednesday night or whatever, as my stage, man, I think we're in really dangerous territory. I think that's a prideful action that, quite honestly, is robbing the student ministry from something that God may want to do through one of the students in your ministry.
That's really good.
So let's camp out there just a little bit and just talk about students giving a testimony or students preaching the message or students being your worship team. Some of the things to remember as you approach giving students a voice through those avenues.
I think the biggest thing to remember, especially when it's formally on stage or if there's not a stage, just, you know, as a part of the worship service in front of everyone else that's there, speaking to the audience, leading worship for the audience, whatever it is, it's your fault if it flops because they haven't had any guidance or training in how to do that well. So if you got a student that's going to come share their testimony, please don't just let them get up there. Just, you know, hey, next week, can you share your testimony? And then you just hand them the mic at 6:30. Go.
Yeah.
Have them write it down and turn it into you and then have them deliver it at least once to you.
Yeah.
If they're preaching a message, I did this many, many times. If somebody's going to come preach a message, I would love for students to come preach. If you've got interns, you need your interns to get up there. If they feel called to student ministry and they're interning with you and they want to teach or preach one day, they need an opportunity to do that and learn. You also need an opportunity to hear them do that for you. I required 3 times, and we would edit every time and help them with delivery, help them with content. And this is not a, you know, it's not like I'm ripping them apart every time they come do this. But when they get on stage to do it, they do it with confidence.
Yeah.
Which is not only great for them because they don't walk away saying, man, I just totally bombed. And then at risk of being very anxious next time they do it. But also, it's easier for the audience to hear.
Yeah.
Because there's a great potential that you ruin a sacred moment there if you don't steward that well. So you want to make sure that the hearers are going to be edified by what's being spoken. And that's on you kind of vetting that and crafting that with them.
Yeah. That way they get a clear thought, something that they're going to be able to take away, and they understand what the student's saying.
I feel like I used 50% too many words just then. So apologize to the listeners on that one.
No, I think your point is well taken, though. I think that it's a moment where a student pastor can train and develop a student. Just much like we talked about leadership development and that feedback group, being a part of discipleship, those moments that you spend helping one of your students craft a message, that you listen to them, that you talk to them about it, that's discipleship. And the more they share it, the more it cements what God has done in their life into their heart.
Yeah.
And it prepares them to share it more frequently. So I think that that is something that we can't overlook in that training process. You're not just making sure that what they're delivering is done in an excellent way. You are doing that, but you're also discipling them along,
no doubt,
along that road. So I know that you and our podcast listeners, if they've been listening for a while, know that you are musically talented. So like when we served together, it was awesome because the worship component of this, like you were able to pour into and train musicians to lead worship for us on Wednesday night. So like our worship team was all students, and that's something that we wanted to have. It's not something that we had right out of the gate because that training process did need to happen. We did believe that there is a level of quality that we wanted to have. Now, is it going to be perfect every time? No. Is it going to be as excellent as you going out and paying a band to come in and do? Probably not, but ours was.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
It got to the point where they were unbelievable.
Where speakers would come in and say, you guys told me there was going to be a student band and I was scared out of my mind. And they're better than the last three bands that I've partnered with.
Yeah, there was. And man, part of that is just God's hand on some of those students that we had that he just said, I'm going to allow you guys to have these kids in your ministry. Like that, you know, that doesn't happen all the time.
And this, I'll say this about that. It's not like we were doing ministry in Nashville then, where music is a huge part of the culture and everybody right. plays guitar or drums yeah. or bass or sings or...
Or fiddle.
Or fiddle. Get fiddle.
Yeah.
We were in Hampton, Virginia, and I had to teach the drummer, like, this is a bass drum. You play this one with your foot.
On the pedal.
Yeah.
Not kicking it.
You know, and we had a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget one guy that said, oh man, I can play guitar. I want to come play. And he jumped up there to audition. And I said, okay, you know, we give him a song a couple weeks ahead of time. Come play this. He did not know how to play guitar. I wrote a G chord, a C chord, and a D chord on the top of his paper. And we started from there.
Yeah.
And a year and a half later, he was playing lead guitar and killing it.
Yeah. So for those of you that are thinking, man, I just don't have that in my student ministry. I don't have teenagers that naturally lend themselves to, like, the well is dry, guys. What you're saying is not going to work in our student. You just heard, now we had a couple of super gifted people right out of the gate, but in large part, you heard John Paul describe, like, it's taking people from scratch. They wanted to do it. They had a heart for leading worship, and John Paul taught them how to play.
And you may not be gifted that way, but you can find a volunteer. You can find someone in your community.
Yeah.
That you can enlist to help you get there.
Yeah, for sure. And so like this is possible for you. Having a group of students that lead worship every week is possible for you. And I would say too, there's something missional about that, that when a group of students see their peers leading them in worship, man, it's different than when they see a group of musicians that they know are either paid or even volunteer, but that are adults that are leading. Turning that moment over to teenagers can be a little scary, but it's so worth the work that you put in or the work that you delegate to volunteers to put in. It's so worth it because the way students respond and the atmosphere that it builds, not just for worship, but if you make it a practice of involving students on that stage, if you're preaching out of Romans chapter 3 that Wednesday night, having a student read the passage that you're speaking out of before you get up to preach or as a part of the worship service flow, that makes it, little things like that make a difference. It makes a difference in the students that participate and in the hearers.
And there are so many places you can let students lead. Just a few of the places that I enjoyed letting students lead is introducing the night. And you have to coach them, you know, while everybody's coming in the room. Hey, everybody, come on in, find a seat, get settled. Here's what we're going to do. You know, kind of that speaking like an MC is not something that comes natural to everybody.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take a ton of coaching. Let a student welcome the rest of the students into that atmosphere every once in a while. Let a student pray before the service starts. Maybe even let a student lead the game. Again, this is coaching. With the kids that would come pray in our services, I often said, please don't say the same prayer that we hear every week. Lord, speak through John Paul and let it not be his words, but your words. It's like, seriously, have you ever prayed anything other than that?
At their dinner or they're on their bed before they before they go to sleep that night. Their devotion, they're praying for your words.
Yeah. So
you got to coach them how to pray. And hey, that's discipleship.
Yep. Letting them speak, letting them preach, letting them give testimony, letting them be in the band, letting them run sound and lights, even if that's flipping the switch at the back of the room. giving them responsibility and leadership.
Yeah.
Is a big deal. And when other students see other students doing that, it generates a desire. They say, hey, I can do that too.
Yeah, it does. And so for those of you right now that are thinking, man, I love what you guys are saying. This sounds like really good, but that sounds like a lot of extra work for me. Like I'm already planning to preach a message. I'm already doing these things on a Wednesday night. Like I've already got all of these to-do list items to check off. And now I've got to listen to somebody give their testimony three times and help them edit and help them make it clear. And I've got to train a worship band or find somebody to train a work. Like, how am I supposed to get all of these things done? Well, you hear us on the podcast talk all the time about the essential role that volunteers play in your ministry. And so if you are standing at the door and greeting, or you are standing behind the soundboard and running it, or you are doing any of these other tasks, like those are things that you can get students or volunteers to do to free you up to play this essential role in training and developing leaders to have a voice in your student ministry. Like this is one of those areas that I would say you as the student pastor need to have your fingerprints on. Like this, you know, if we always talk about what are some of the things that only you can do? Well, sure, you can put a volunteer in charge of listening and helping a student prepare for a message. I wouldn't. Like these are the things, this I would put in the category of things that only you can do as the student pastor. So if there are other things on a Wednesday night that, or Sunday night, whenever you have your worship service or whatever, like if there are things that are taking your attention away and you're asking yourself, man, that's just more work. How am I going to get that done? Then you need to look at your volunteer structure and say, what can I get off of my plate to other volunteers to free me up to be able to pour into students so that they can have a voice in this ministry in an ongoing way?
Yeah, and maybe the only thing that I would add to that is, you know, when you're talking about developing someone, helping them develop a message. You know, Al Mohler goes to church somewhere, and he's an incredible communicator.
Yeah.
And so, and he's just one name that came to mind. There are so many communicators, itinerant speakers, educators, whatever it is, that are, you know, their ministry happens Monday through Friday, and when they're traveling, and many Sundays, they are in the local church somewhere as part of the congregation, as part of the body. Those are people that you can leverage too. If you've got some of those people in your church, please come let them pour into your students.
Yeah.
Don't be too prideful to say, no, that's my area. I know that they're here, but that's my area.
Yeah, that's good. So what about now another way to give students a voice? Is by organizing discipleship where your older students are discipling your younger students. Man, of all the things that we've talked about, if we talk about lasting impact and things that you want to be a part of the culture of your student ministry, this probably rises above all of them.
Yeah.
But it takes training, right? Like you and your volunteers have to disciple some students. Throughout that process, you're saying, hey, the purpose of us doing this is so that you can do the same thing for another group of students. Challenge them to identify those students that they are going to walk through this process with. It takes, again, we talk about more work. It does take more work. It does take more of a focus. But this is, again, something that you can train volunteers to do. You can do it yourself with a small group. This is something that John Paul and I always made time. Like, we were always going to have a group of guys that we were doing this with. Can we have that level of relationship? And can you have that level of relationship with everybody in your student ministry? No. But you can with a small group, and you can train other volunteers to go and do the same. But man, having that environment where you are challenging your older students to disciple and teach the younger students how to walk with Jesus, man, as far as shining the spotlight on students or giving them a voice, that one's going to rise above all the others.
And this is a place that really doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah.
You can walk a student, a group of students that you've identified as leaders and have communicated to them, hey, I want you to be disciple makers. You know, you go through this whole process. Walk them through a study of scripture. Walk them through a spiritual disciplines resource. Walk them through whatever it is that is valuable to them that you want them to grow in. And as you walk them through, have them take notes. Hey, look, here's what I want you guys to do. These last two pages in your book are blank. I want you to write down these things in the back of their book. What you're creating is a key for them. When you finish that study, and at that point, if you feel comfortable about those kids going to make disciples of younger students, then you say, hey, guess what? You've got a book and you have a lesson plan in the back of it. You have a key with all of the important things that we highlighted through here. All you got to do is find two other students that want to go through this with you and walk them through exactly what we just did.
Yeah.
And if you ever don't know the answer to a question, you say, I don't know, but I'll find out for you and I'll come back next week.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be rocket science. It's literally modeling for them what you want them to do for somebody else.
Yeah. I think this issue specifically, we overcomplicate a lot of times.
Yeah.
We think it's got to be some giant blown up program, and really it's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells Timothy to be an example to the believers. And the Greek word for example means to leave a mark, to leave a lasting mark, an imprint. And that's what you're shooting for. It doesn't have to be this crazy process.
Yeah.
You leave the mark on these students, and then you give them a voice to go leave that mark, to leave that imprint that you've impressed upon this student that you're discipling on the other students.
Yeah.
And that is the way that God has called us, to teach others everything that Jesus taught the disciples and that the disciples taught everyone else after them until it has reached us. It's just a matter of handing down this example of what it looks like to be a Christian and to pursue Christ.
Yeah. And, you know, if you think about the people, like as you're listening, think about the people that have made an impact or impression or left their mark on you. Chances are it wasn't in some formalized process where you like had to sign up on a sheet of paper and register to come. Like it was an informal, and looking back on it now, you're like, oh, that was like this person was pouring into me. This person left a mark on me, and it just happened informally.
Yeah.
So the last thing we want to mention as far as giving students a voice is making sure that the stories that students tell, that the testimonies they give, that the things that God is doing in their lives and the things that God is doing in your student ministry, that those stories don't stay in the student ministry. So part of giving students a voice is making sure that those stories get to the parents, get to the volunteer leaders, that those stories get to your pastor, the people that you serve with. You need to make sure that those things aren't just contained in the student ministry. Allow other groups of people throughout your church to celebrate what God is doing in that student's lives or that group or on that campus or in your ministry as a whole.
Yeah. I just did some consulting with a church, and one of the key complaints from volunteers about the student ministry was that the rest of the church didn't know what was going on in the student ministry. And they said, man, we're over here doing some great things. We're seeing God move. We're seeing students' lives be changed. But the church doesn't know, and it feels like people don't want to be involved. Guess what? That's the student pastor's fault.
Yeah.
It is your job to share those stories. It's your job to share those victories. And that needs to be part of your parent ministry plan. That needs to be part of your volunteer recruitment plan. That needs to be part of your job security plan with your senior pastor.
That's right. I mean, and it's not prideful. And it's not, I think some people, they don't want to do that because they feel like if they talk about that a lot, then that's somehow like taking the glory away from God for that. And that they're sharing, man, look what we're doing. And that's, first of all, check your heart on that. And for some, it may drift towards that. But man, I think in general, like we just don't share those things because we're afraid of what it might look like. But that's not, it's not prideful. It's spreading excitement. It's developing a culture of celebrating what God's doing. And more people want to be involved in what God is already doing. I mean, that's the whole premise of experiencing God, right? Is find out where God is already working and join him in it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the best ways for you to recruit volunteers is to shout from the top of your church how God is moving and changing lives in your student ministry. People gravitate towards that.
Yep.
And with that, we are going to conclude our podcast for today on giving students a voice. This is a topic I think that's close to both of our hearts. It's been fun to talk about this, and hopefully it's been encouraging and challenging to you as you think through how you're going to apply and give students a voice in your ministry and apply some of the things that we talked about today. Thanks for listening. As always, we will see you next time.